Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
A good deal of noise was made last month when the Department of Justice moved to block AT&T's merger with T-Mobile. In an era where regulation has become a four-letter word, it was an act that seemed to blindside the telecom giant, which had been buttering up policymakers with the help of their aggressive spending on lobbying and campaign contributions for years. But late last week, another heavy blow hit AT&T's merger proposal when seven state attorneys general joined the DOJ's lawsuit seeking to block the merger. Joel Kelsey is political advisor with Free Press. He explains why this move is so significant.
Other than this represents the elected law enforcement officials that represent a third of the United States population standing up for their consumers and saying this deal would hurt the residents of the various different states represented, I think the biggest significance for those watching how this merger plays out and the DOJ's suit plays out, it means that it makes it very difficult for a settlement to be reached in this case.
Now, in addition to having the DOJ sign off on the merger, AT&T would have to convince seven attorneys general from both political parties and the judge presiding over the case.
So I think that this makes it very, very difficult for AT&T to try to salvage their deal by selling off different types of assets, trying to get rid or drop some of the spectrum that it's acquired on some of the local markets where it may have too much. I think the DOJ has been very clear that it views this market as a national market. You're eliminating one of four competitors, and you're allowing the top two firms, AT&T and Verizon, to control close to 80% of the market share, and that's just too much for this merger to represent a move that could benefit consumers, innovation, and not have a dampening effect on price increases.
Kelsey said that there were likely a number of reasons that the attorneys general from California, Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania took action. But perhaps most significant were those who clearly saw from the facts, not the politics, that the deal was a violation of antitrust law.
I think some of them were probably motivated by, you know, what called them into public service in the first place, the responsibility to protect the citizens that elected them. And this is a merger that would raise prices, that would limit consumer options, that would chill innovation. We throw those terms around here in Washington, meaning the entire country, but I think that has a real impact on all of the different states.
Although the decline in newspaper readership is nothing to celebrate, it has the benefit of reducing the impact on our trees and forests. But since we value more news available to more people, there must be a way to keep the newspaper industry strong while also protecting our woodlands. Fortunately, a plan is in place to do both of those things. Two nonprofit organizations, the Green Press Initiative in the U.S. and Canopy in Canada, recently released a newspaper industry environmental vision. They're asking newspaper publishers to adopt sustainable practices that don't rely so heavily on virgin wood fibers. Shannon Binns is a program manager with the Green Press Initiative.
The vision is really an opportunity for the newspaper industry to set some collective goals to stimulate innovation within the industry to work toward a more environmentally sustainable product and a more financially sustainable industry.
Newsprint made in the U.S. and Canada is about 35% recycled material on average. Ben believes that going green is not only good for the environment, but it's also good for business.
Quite simply, conserving resources saves money. The vision extends beyond paper impacts to water and energy use within their print facilities if they print their own paper. Of course, reducing waste and all of those things help the bottom line. But if we look at the triple bottom line, there's a bit of social responsibility that comes into play here. And certainly newspapers who are in the business of serving the public should be, and many are, becoming more socially responsible with regard to their environmental impacts.
The newspaper industry has been bleeding subscribers and competing with an intensifying online world. Ben says a better footprint might improve newspapers' appeal to environmentally conscious readers.
I know some people have just dropped their print subscription altogether because they're concerned about all the paper that's going into their recycling bin or their garbage bin in some cases. But I think if newspapers were to take a more proactive approach to making their print editions more environmentally sensitive, they might be able to hang on to subscribers.
The Association of Alternative News Media, Now Magazine, and Embarcadero Media are the first newsprint publishers to endorse the vision. Ben says people can help others follow suit.
I think it would be important for the public to communicate to their local newspaper that they would like to see them endorse these goals, asking them what they are doing to reduce their environmental impacts, and just basically let them know that they do care.
To read more about the newspaper industry environmental vision, visit greenpressinitiative.org.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.